Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. This is the audio edition of the God Bless America magazine, the 2024, October 2024 edition. On the phone with me today is Evangelist Byron Fox, and he is going to introduce our special guest. Brother Fox, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, Brother Dixon, I appreciate you and your leadership so much, and you've done such a great job editing articles in this magazine. And we have with us Dr. Mike Edwards, and he's pastor emeritus of Heritage Baptist Church in my beloved state of Virginia. He was in Woodbridge, Virginia for a number of years, did a great job. Now he travels as an evangelist. He's the director of SharePoint Ministries. And Dr. Edwards, we're just glad that you're with us today.
Thank you, Brother Fox. It's good to be here.
Well, praise God. We want to talk about this article that you've written for us in the God Bless America magazine, and the title of it is A Call to Action for Pastors. A Call to Action for Pastors. And I read the article, and even the first sentence grabbed me. You wrote this in the first sentence. You said, "Pastor, it is not hyperbole to state that we are at a crossroads in America." Dr. Edwards, are we really at a crossroads?
Yeah, I truly believe we are, Brother Fox. I do believe that, as I've heard you say as well, everything that is important to us as believers, as conservative American citizens, is really in jeopardy at this moment of being able to hold on to the freedoms that we maybe for a lot of years have taken for granted. And I think they're either in danger of changing to where we don't recognize them, or maybe disappearing altogether.
You're right. And, you know, I'm a happy Christian, but I'm also a realist. You know, God himself is a realist, and we must be. And I look at my country, and it's almost unrecognizable from when I was a little boy. Things so different. We've got it. Things so confused today, teaching our boys and girls they evolve from primordial ooze, teaching them that they can be a boy one day and a girl the next. Just our country is very confused, and there is an insanity that goes along with sin. And so the word jeopardy is well used, and I don't relish that whatsoever. Now, your article is indicating that pastors need to get active. Now, I've got this question. Don't some pastors get some pushback from church members saying, "Come on, preacher, don't get so political on us. Come on, preacher, don't talk about how bad everything is. We want a happy preacher and a positive preacher." How should pastors respond to those type of questions?
Well, let me say this about that. As a pastor in pastoral ministry for 43 years, a senior pastor and church planter, 37 years. I want pastors to know I wrote this from the perspective and the heart of a pastor. And I understand the pressures of schedule that preachers face. You know, that you get your people for 60 minutes on a Sunday morning and 60 minutes on a Sunday night and the same on a Wednesday night. And your heart is to preach the gospel. Your heart is to disciple your people and encourage your people. And it just seems like minutes are so precious in every service that sometimes we want to tell ourselves there's no time to deal with another important topic, such as the needs of our nation and so on. I think beyond that, there's a concern that we pastor a broad spectrum of people, and maybe there will be some who have a different political perspective than us. And I'm not at all advocating preaching politics from the pulpit. I think what I'm advocating is that even though there might be a broad spectrum of political view, we're not preaching political view, we're preaching biblical truth. And I do think there's a necessity for us to make our people aware, whatever their political persuasion is, whatever candidate they're choosing to back, our responsibility is to preach and make known to them biblical values. A lot of things that our country wants us to believe are political are not political. The family is not political. Abortion, life is not a political issue. Those are biblical truths and biblical issues. And I think we have the responsibility to shepherd our people in understanding the importance of those values and then how those values play into the political life of our nation. Another thing that I think people are concerned about is, you know, what will the response be of people thinking that I'm becoming political when I can look at other folks in the Bible? The Apostle Paul ministered for a time under Nero, and certainly men in Jerusalem ministered under people that persecuted them. But what I want to remind you is that providentially, God didn't place us in Rome or Jerusalem or in another land or time. He placed us in America, where there's a constitution that I believe he led men to write, where there is a freedom that we have. And he's placed in our hands the stewardship of those freedoms that we've been blessed with in our citizenship. And so I think we ought to help our people understand biblical values and the responsibility of stewarding the vote that God has given us in our nation, and then protect biblical values with the vote that God has given us.
That is so well spoken. You mentioned that abortion is not a political issue. Even though it's been politicized, the life issue is a Bible issue. And I love the way that you said that just a moment ago. I want to ask one more question, then Brother Dixon will ask you a question. But the first point you have, after making your case that it's time for action, the first point you have is to engage the people. Would you elaborate on how we need to engage our church members?
Well, I would suggest in this moment, this magazine that is being produced is a tool, a vehicle that a pastor can have and use to engage his people in talking about these things. There's going to be some wonderful articles in this magazine, not just issues that would be in the political realm or what someone might consider to be in the political realm. There's issues on prayer. There's articles on soul winning. It is a great vehicle that a pastor just doesn't have to pull the idea out of the air. But with that magazine in hand, he can encourage his people to not only read it, but to help them and maybe shepherd them in thinking about what that means for their lives personally, and maybe even in their church life, in the matter of being good stewards with our citizenship, with our vote, but also being engaged with our neighbors and other people, raising the level of righteousness by talking about these things. I just think the magazine provides a tool in their hands to engage with their people.
And Brother Edwards, in your article, you mentioned how the Bible addresses current issues. And when we think through that, we know that his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we know from Hebrews 5 that as we exercise our senses in the word of righteousness, we can discern between good and evil. So how would you help people to actually discern? And as they read the news, and of course some of the news lately is so disconcerting, how would you help them go about using their Bible to actually address the current issues?
Well, I would say, first of all, that as pastors, maybe we need to be providing some opportunity to see that, to help guide them in that. But you know, Brother Dixon, in our normal conversations, in our jobs, we are presented with great opportunities in all the ways that we walk through life that are separate from a church auditorium. Mm-hmm. And I think the opportunity that men in their office, perhaps families in their neighborhoods. I know in the D.C. area, there's long commutes, sometimes on buses and trains. Conversation one to another is a tremendous opportunity of talking about real issues and presenting not just the cultural view or what I would call the TikTok view, the 5-second presentation, but literally talking about biblical truth and speaking to it from our experience in life, trying to engage people. We may not always get a positive response from people, but at least we introduce the thought. And if we do it from a friendly and loving and kind perspective, then I think that sometimes when we engage people personally with the truth, as the Bible presents it and as it is seen in our lives, we can make a great impact with those we speak with.
We're interviewing Dr. Mike Edwards about his article, A Call to Action for Pastors. And it's the final article in this brand new magazine, the God Bless America magazine. Dr. Edwards, one of my favorite memories of you and I, and we've preached together numbers of times, been together, we've enjoyed many phone calls, but one of my favorite times, we were together in Delaware, and on that Wednesday, on a hot afternoon, maybe close to 100 degrees, you and I went door knocking together, and we knocked on about 50 doors that day. But you remember we got to lead a lady to Christ that day.
Yes.
You know, your article here is not just about voting, but we've got to engage in all of these things. Dr. Edwards, how hard was it to get your people? How hard is it for pastors to get their people to go soul winning, door knocking, going to their neighbor, going to their coworkers? Just how engaged do we need to be, and how hard is it?
Well, we are a very, very busy generation, and it seems like we've built distractions into our lives. And I think one of the jobs of a pastor, I certainly felt that it was my responsibility, was to try to help my people center and keep myself centered on what was truly important. What will matter beyond today? What will matter for eternity? And I remember that instance. I believe that woman was from Haiti. And,
yes.
And to express to her the gospel and to see the hope that that brought to her life, the smile that it brought to her face, was more rewarding than any athletic competition, more rewarding than 100 other things that we could have sought to do. And I just think it's asking people, it's centering people on what truly matters. What will matter beyond this hour? What will matter beyond this day? And then trying as best we can to focus ourselves on those things. And, you know, the emphasis in this article is not just the stewardship of our vote, but praying for our nation, preaching the gospel, not just from pulpits, but personally in our daily experiences to our neighbors, to our workmates, to those that we do converse with. And as we center our lives, I think that's maybe what's happened in America, is we've become so distracted from the most important things. You know, the urgent always screams at us, and the most important sometimes gets ignored or neglected. And I think we need to engage, and we need to focus on those things that matter. Yes, we're in a political season, and we need to exercise good stewardship of our citizenship. But we need to pray for our nation, and we need to share the gospel. The same Savior, the same gospel that saved us and turned us, can turn the folks of our nation. We need revival, and the gospel is the tool for revival.
Amen to that. Dr. Edwards, you're serving as co-host with me on a a Zoom call that we're doing on October the 22nd.
Yeah.
And that's a day we're calling for, a day of prayer and fasting. And I love how you said it just a moment ago. We must not allow the urgent to take precedent over the important.
Yeah.
It can be urgent to change the oil in the car, be urgent to cut the grass. I understand all that. But it is important that we pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing. That's not a suggestion from God. That's an imperative. That's a divine command from God. And so we're hoping that all of our listeners to this interview, the readers of the magazine, will participate with us on October the 22nd, a day of prayer and fasting, that we actually don't just talk about prayer, but that we actually pray. And we don't just talk about fasting, but we actually fast. And so I love the things that you've said. The final passage in your article, you're talking about David looking at in the valley of Elah against this great big giant, and he was very motivated. You know, it may look dismal to a lot of folk right now in America. Is there hope, Dr. Edwards?
I believe there is hope. Anywhere the Lord is, there is hope. And I believe that great movements of God have never been by the masses. They might have gotten to where a lot of people were involved, but it started when individuals got under the burden to do something, to allow God to use them in some way. And in that simple example, the entire army of Israel is cowering in the trenches, listening to that blasphemer down in the valley, but none of them taking action. And if we would have looked at David and what his action was, most men today would have scoffed at a young man saying, "Is there not a cause?" marching down into a valley with a sling and five stones. Why, they'd have laughed at him and thought how foolish, how worthless that will be. And yet God took that simple thing and God wrought a great victory. And I think that's where we stand. What we may be able to do, what we may be able to contribute, we may think is such a small thing, but God can take those little things and he can change the course of a nation. He can do anything he wants to do. And I think our sole responsibility is to respond to him and do what we can do to bring the hope of the gospel to a nation that is certainly in darkness today.
Well, I love that. Brother Dixon, what final comment or question would you have for Dr. Edwards?
You know, brother, as we think about the trouble we are in, there's a passage in Hosea 2, verse 15, where the Lord says, "I will give them the door of hope in the valley of Achor," which is the valley of Achan, the one who troubled us. And so the way it's usually taken is that the Lord gives a door of hope in the valley of trouble. You have really encouraged us with this article because we see the trouble all around, but we are understanding that the Lord has given us a wonderful door of hope. And I just want to thank you very much for writing this article. And as Brother Fox mentioned, it is the last article, the capstone article, if you will, in the magazine. I'd just like to express my appreciation to you for writing it.
Thank you, Brother Dixon. You're very kind. You know, I will end my thoughts with this. In Psalm 63, I believe it occurred when David was in the Judean wilderness. Absalom had rebelled and he had left the city. And there with all the pressing responsibilities of getting his army prepared, his family prepared, facing the rebellion of this young man, early in the morning when it could have occurred to him that he had 1,000 things to do, there in that dawn of that cave, his first thought was, "I'm going to seek the Lord first."
Amen.
And when we seek the Lord, I believe the Lord can dispel the darkness. I believe the Lord can provide the direction. And David rose up from that moment when he could have rushed off to the day to do in his strength what he thought needed to be done. He sought the Lord first. And then the Lord gave him the direction he needs. That's where we are. This is not a human effort that is going to change our nation, but God can work, and our sole responsibility is to look to him and ask him to use us in this effort.
Amen.
It's been a terrific interview, has it not, Brother Dixon?
Certainly has. We'd like to thank you both so much for joining us on this audio edition of the God Bless America magazine. Evangelist Byron Fox and Pastor, now Evangelist Mike Edwards, we thank you so much for joining us. And listeners, if you are receiving this audio and it's not in the context of the magazine, and you'd like to find out more about the magazine, we would encourage you to go to godandcountry.me. This is on the web, godandcountry.me, and you'll find out what you need to find there about how to get a digital copy of the magazine or a print copy if you wish. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
God bless, sir.
Thank you.